here. You can kind of look around at the class and see who is missing, and you need to pray for those that are missing. There's a lot of sickness and everything going around, so keep that in mind as well. But pray for those that it may not be a virus going around, but maybe they've got some other problem that they're not able to be here this morning. So just pray for them and pray for our church and everything like that. If you got your bulletins, just a couple quick announcements. We got the Lord's Supper tonight. Keep that in mind. And I'm sure it'll be just like we've been doing with the little cup and everything all combined and everything. It just makes it so much easier, and we don't have to worry about anything when it comes to that. Keep that in mind. And then we need to keep praying for Brother Herdman and Amy and the family there, because of the loss of her mother. I need to be praying for that as well. And also keep in mind that Saturday, the 25th, there is an outreach visitation program. If you can't come to the visitation program for one reason or another, but pray for it. Something that I wanted to mention just quickly, and that is what Randy and I are finding out. I go out with Randy Dishner, and we do move-ins. People are scared to death. People don't want to answer the door because they're scared to death. The news media is doing its job. They're terrifying people and getting them so scared that you just don't trust opening your door. And I don't know how many, I know at least a couple yesterday that we went to the door and they didn't want to, I had to hang it from the door with them looking at me because they were afraid. So, you know, we need to pray about that situation, because it really hinders going door to door and trying to reach them. Now, if we know them and they know you, that's different. But when you're going door to door trying to reach somebody new, and with this new move-ins that we go to all the time, a lot of times we know they're in the house, but they will not come to the door. They're terrified. So be praying about that situation. And it's changing the landscape as far as visitation goes, too, as well. So, but keep that in mind. There's some more things there in the middle section. And March 5th, the Ambassador Baptist College Ensemble will be here. And I know we all want to be here that as well. So keep that in mind. Okay. Now, do I have any prayer requests here on my left? Yes. Okay. Yeah, did you put it on that? Good. Thank you. I'll make sure that gets in the office. And that helps me, too, as well. One other one that Brother Steve mentioned to me this morning, and that is the fact that Brother Stevens, his wife, has gone into the hospital, some kind of heart procedure or some heart problem or whatever, but we need to be praying for her. And pray for Brother Stevens as well. You know, he was a blessing while we were trying to, you know, find a pastor. So, we need to pray for him. Okay? Anybody else on my left over here? How about here in the middle section? Yes, Nancy? Okay. Anybody else here in the middle? Okay, how about my right over here? Anything? All right. Need to be praying for that. Okay, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes and just pour our heart out to the Lord. You know, this is one thing that I, in my own life, the best time to get a hold of the Lord is when there's nobody around and it's just you and Him. And that's the sweetest time you'll ever have. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I just pray and ask that you would just be with every request this man should be with Brother Stevens, be with his wife, just help in that situation and just strengthen both of them, help them to that situation. Dear Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us and you love us and care about us and you answer prayer and you take care of our needs. And dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for that. And we know you love us. And dear Heavenly Father, we love you. But dear Heavenly Father, this world just getting more and more wicked. Help us through it. We know it's going to get that way through the end until the rapture happens. But help us as Christians, dear Heavenly Father, to be strong, to be brave, and just to keep on doing your job and to do the work that we have to do. Be with Brother Steve as he teaches this morning. Just give him what we need. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'd be with the hearts here this morning. Just touch each heart. Meet each need. For we ask it all in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Hearing what Bob said about visitation, it's becoming more and more apparent to a lot of people in this church that serve, that have served in the past. A lot of you've served in the past, Sunday school teachers, bus drivers, missionaries. Time has changed right before our eyes. The society has changed. The devil's got a hold of it. And we have to be creative in the way we talk to people, not to hurt feelings, not to press too hard. But as we go through life, we all have to shop, and we all have to go to store, and we go to Lowe's, or go wherever we go. We've got to take time, and don't let anybody walk by with saying, "How you doing? Are you having a good day?" And get the conversation going on something. I started a conversation with a guy at Lowe's over pellets that go in a smoker. He said, "You smoke meat?" "Yeah, I smoke meat. I'm smoking this and then smoke cream cheese." He said, "I've never seen anybody else smoke cream cheese but me." And then, you know, and I got the young man new in the area, has a baby, getting ready to have another baby. He's in the right generation to be in this church. You know. And I said, "Look, exchange numbers," and we did. He wasn't afraid of that. I said, "When you're ready to come," he said, "I've been looking." I said, "Well, don't look no farther. You call me and I'll meet you at the door." And he looked at me and he said, "You can meet me at the door?" I mean, just something that simple, folks, will touch people's hearts and change their life if we can get them sitting in these seats and under the preaching of the word. We all got to make that effort. Got to make that effort. Okay, we're going to step into number three, the dispensation of human government. And one of the words that stood out in this study is the faith of these men. And I got to looking back at Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith there in the Bible. And a lot of these men that were involved in the starting of these dispensations here in the Old Testament are mentioned in that hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, not seen. I mean, what is not seen in our lives? We can't see past the minute. I can't see tomorrow. Evidence of things not seen. Talking about creation. For by it the elders obtained a good report. These people that we're talking about in this particular situation here, in this dispensation, is from the flood to the confusion of tongues. Noah was considered a righteous man because of his faith. How many of us have enough faith? Now we know in today's dispensation that we live in the age of grace. Christ died on the cross for our sins. And we trust that. By faith, we are saved. Not of works. Not of anything that we do. It's all done by Christ. He saves us. He keeps us. And my faith, I trust that. What else do we trust God for by faith? We all can sit here and say, well, by faith I'm saved. Yes, I trust Christ. These men in these dispensations was dealing with heavy things. World-changing events that God brought on the world because of sin. We're living in a time that we're seeing world-changing events. Look what's happened to those lovely people in the Ukraine. And I was there 4 or 5 years ago. World-changing events. It's coming home to us. People moving into here and they're afraid to open their door? Folks, that's not East Tennessee. That's not coal country. It's a different time. It's a different time. And if we're not strong in the faith that God can get us through this, that God can walk somebody across our path, by faith I trust God, He's going to walk somebody across my path today that I can witness to. Do you pray that? With faith? Folks, if our generation don't put the word out there, there's a generation coming along, there's a new generation coming to this church that does not know the depth of what you and I know, of what we've been taught for the last 50 or 60 years from preachers like Preacher Lashley. And on and on. There's a generation of those pastors is gone. It's all new. So how do we deal with all this? We've got to have faith in God that He can do all these things. The faith that is the substance of things hoped for. What do you have hope for? Do you have hope for your families? Do we have hope for our grandchildren? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Just that right there. The people don't have a hold of it. Many, many people. Through faith, we understand that. I understand it. It's simple to me. I mean, I understand dispensationalism. I understand it by faith. God's given me that knowledge. Give me comfort in reasoning through that. And most of you do. But do we use what we have in our old noggins? And we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God. So things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. You see, this goes on and on. By faith, I understand what the flood did to this world. I understand that the world was created by God in these dispensations we've been talking about. By faith, it gives me, God, give me understanding. I trust you with this. I have faith in you that you will help me understand what I need to do in the world that we have today. Now, we look at Noah's situation. This is from the flood to the confusion of tongues. Genesis 8, 1 through 11 is about a 427-year period. Noah was a righteous man, the only man God could find who believed him. Noah was saved and seven others in the flood. God couldn't find anybody else. Sin completely was controlling the known world at that time. And Noah built an ark unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered a burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. See, that right there tells me that God's going to like a good T-bone steak. He smelled the meat cooking. And the Lord said, this is his heart, and I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for our fault, for the image of man's heart is evil from the youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything that liveth as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time to harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now, these environmentalists can say all they want to say. If you listen to them 20 or 30 years ago, the ocean would be outside our door here. God's got it. By faith, I believe that God is going to make everything happen exactly the way he says he's going to make it happen. He will step back in the air, and we will go home to heaven with him before it gets really bad during the 7-year tribulation period. By faith. Hebrews 11:7 talks about Noah in the Hall of Fame here. And it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Now, that doesn't mean he's scared. That means he had respect for God. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He was moved by faith and by fear of God, by trusting God. I fear God. I trust him. My faith is strong enough to where I turn the care of my family over to him. I turn the care of my loved ones over to him. I turn over all things in life that he can control it. I can't do it. You're going through something right now in your life that's hard, it's difficult. You can't bear it without him. Been there. All of us have been to those places. We can't bear it. We have to have faith that God can carry that for us. You have faith. It seems difficult, very difficult, but God will make a way. You trust him. You hold his hand. He's good, folks, all the time, all the time. So here we have this man. And he had a responsibility. You know, God gives us a responsibility. In every one of these dispensations, God steps up and says, here's what I want you to do for me. Noah had a big responsibility. Just like in the first and the second dispensation, men had something to do. And Noah was given the same position as Adam, to occupy this dispensation. Adam occupied the first one. And he was to govern for God. He was supposed to set up a government with God at the head of it. You know, this nation under God. Are we still there? Is there anything even resemble that in our country's capital? Oh, yeah, it's written on all the buildings. It's written on our money. It has no meaning anymore. So sad. So sad. We need to pray for our government. Pray for our officials. That God can get a hold of that again. Folks, it's heading down. It's so close. I'm so praising the Lord that I'm saved. Because the next thing on his agenda is he's going to show up in the sky. And we're close. We are really close. And by faith, I trust that. I trust what Christ has done on the cross for me. So here we have Noah in this particular dispensation to set up a government. And really, that responsibility for running our governments has always been man's to do. We can look in the New Testament because Christ talked about honoring the government, doing what they say, talking about the Roman government during that time. You know, and all that went on then, that we needed to honor and pay our taxes, and Christ gave examples of that, and they couldn't believe that he said it. And the Jews were just, they could not, they just didn't get it. They were too selfish, too self-centered, thought that the religion of what they did was what needed to be done, was not what God was doing. We can get hung up on that. What we do. What I do is not nothing in God's sight but filthy rags. So here we have Noah that's supposed to take the government and go forward with it. Of course, this government responsibility will end when Christ steps back in. When Christ takes over, he'll take over the government. And we'll see that 1,000-year reign. Noah is given the power for capital punishment. Oh, what a mess that is today. Capital punishment. If you shed somebody's blood, your blood will be shed. It's that simple. It used to be that way. And all this wokeness and liberal thinking and, oh, it'll be okay and we can retrain them, and they turn these people back out on the street and they do it again. It's a mess. It's a mess. God created man in his image. He says we created back in the beginning, but man's failure again in Genesis chapter 11 1-4 talks about it. Unless man can govern himself, he can't govern others. And isn't that not apparent today? We can't hardly govern ourselves, much less govern anybody else. And the world, and the UN, and all the whole mess that's everywhere. It's a complete failure without God in the middle of it, without faith, without trusting God to guide and give us knowledge on what we should do. So we see God, we see Noah here. In the beginning, it was pretty hard. You think about getting off the ark. Stuff was just getting ready to grow back. Birds was coming back. He turned the animals loose, and they were starting to repopulate the earth, and his family was too at the time. It's what God wanted. He designed it that way. We see things become of ease, as it has today for Noah. Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard. He had time to garden. We really had to garden back those days. He's going to eat veggies. Well, the next thing you know, life got easy. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And then sin stepped in again. What God had planned, what God had set in motion again, the sin of man messes it up. So he starts being a drunkard on his own wine. And we know the story. He was laying in a tent naked. His kids saw him there. Knew it was a sin. Changed everything. And Noah woke up from a drunken stupor. And he knew the youngster had seen him and what he had done. Most probably like an accident walked in on him. But because of that, and he said, "Cursed is Canaan." And he cursed him. And from that day forward, that line, the Canaanites, we know some 400 and some years later, your sins come home, dads. 400 and some years later, the Canaanites fighting and killing the nation of Israel. Killing them and putting them in slavery, and on it went because of this one incident. Now you think about alcohol. You tell me. Now, there's other verses in the Bible. We can all read them, know where they're at. I'm just talking about this one incident. What a picture it shows what alcohol can do to generations in a family. It gets started and on and on and on it goes. How sad. Folks, we need to do everything we can do to train our families and our young people to stay away from the drink. It's a bite. It's just like Satan grabbing them and taking them down. It took this family down. It split that family up. You think right now, everybody think right now. Everybody here probably knows somebody, somewhere, some family that's been busted up because of it. I can remember when I was a kid, and most of you can remember that too, and you heard about a divorce or something. Oh, we don't even want to talk about that. That's bad. That's not good. They split up. Oh, he's drinking. Can you remember that when we were kids? But today it's just like part of the society. Kids split up, living with grandparents, or the social workers have to take them. What's the crazy news? I'll just quit watching it. On and on. Don't you tell me that sipping a little bit of wine doesn't start something. I cannot, will not ever social drink. I stopped it 50 years ago. And there is there is social gatherings that you feel the pressure to. Business gatherings. You just have to make your mind up that God, by faith, I'm going to trust you to get me through this. And you go to those things and you say, I'm sorry, that's not part of my life anymore. People need to get a backbone. Stand up for what's right. Do right. Look right. Smell right. Act right. Where's all that gone today? Where's morality gone? Where is manners gone? Where is open the door for ladies? Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Where's all that gone in the young generation? Nobody's been trained anything. He was given in charge of the government, the things that people are supposed to do right, and it didn't get done. Satan seen fit to come in and tear it up with the man that was supposed to be really running the show. Does that not relate today with the people that's supposed to be running this great country? What are they given to? Greed? It's Satan has no new tricks. He really doesn't. So from this point, we see society go downhill. And Noah passed off the scene. Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Then we see society got so bad again, but God had already promised that he was not going to destroy it with water again. We see human government got to the point to where they organized political and religious rebellion against God, basically. They said, we're going to build a tower. It's going to be so big, we're going to reach to heaven. We're going to be like God. We're going to be so high up and lifted above everything. What kind of thinking is that? Did Satan try to get Jesus to do that? Well, yeah, he did. There's no new tricks, guys. There's no new tricks. It's the same old, same old. Satan wants to promise all these pretty things and wonderful things. Oh, if you do this, it'll be this. Yeah, we can build this tower. We don't need God. Let's all get together here politically and we'll have our own religion. Oh, and that's okay. You all just do that right there. Just help with the tower here and everything will be fine. Oh, and this group over here, if you want to dress like that, that's okay. If you want to color your hair that way, that's okay. If you want to be associated with that crowd, that's okay. We're all just together here. Not going to hurt anybody's feelings. We're going to build a tower. And we're going to be high lifted up above God, way above. We're going to build it to heaven. Ain't nothing changed, guys. Not a thing changed. Satan, same old tricks. Man exalts himself, makes a tower, and God looks down on it. In Genesis 11:5, and it says, and God came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagine to do. So what's man's heart? It's deceitfully wicked. And we can imagine anything. And these people were imagining things. Because God was looking at their hearts. Then in verse 7 he says, go to, let us go down. Who's us? Talk about the Trinity again. God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit said, let us go down. Let us go down and take care of business. Let us go down, and they confounded the languages that they may not understand one another. Speech. What a mess that become really quick. You ever been in a foreign country trying to understand what people say? Boy, God did a really good job when he confounded the languages. I mean, it's even on the airplane. I mean, we flew Thai Air. Sometimes they speak their language, and the stewardess, though, can speak English. And the pilot's announcing all this stuff in some kind of Thai language, and you can't understand anything. It's complicated. And then to stand up and speak like this with an interpreter, that's a lot of fun. Because things we say, they don't even have in their language. God did a good job when he did that. And down in verse 9 it says, therefore the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. From thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Mankind was scattered at that point. Confusion of tongues. Moral condition. Now, we got to think about those folks that got scattered. They were all doing their own thing. They were trying to get to God my way, your way. Oh, yours is okay. I'm going to do it my way. All those people were scattered. Moral condition was a mess. Mess. But God is faithful. Again. How many times does God forgive, folks? It's in the Bible 70 times 70 and over and over and over. He's an awesome God that forgives me and you from the sins that we do every day. It's covered in the blood for us. God was merciful to them with their adultery and the way they insulted him, thinking that they were going to have their own religion and how they wanted to follow him. In the next dispensation of promise, he called Abraham. So we move into this next dispensation. And the call of Abraham to Exodus was about 430 years or so. And Genesis chapter 11 talks about that. And we look at Abraham's condition. Probably was in, he didn't know no better. He was in idol, adultery. But here's the difference. God came and spoke to him one day. And he listened. How many of us won't listen? Because we like the sin we have in our pocket. His faith, he listened. His faith began when he left. When hardship came, his faith started. He had to leave Ur of the Chaldees and start a trip, and he didn't even know where he was going. Noah got off the ark and there wasn't anything. His faith held him up at that time, because he trusted God. Faith, folks, will get you through. It will get it done. It did for these men. Was it easy? No. It was difficult. But faith began when he left the Ur of the Chaldees, because he was considered righteous. Christ had not come now. You got to think about this. This is in the Old Testament. He was considered righteous because he believed God by faith. He believed God. That's powerful. So can we believe God today for things that we're dealing with in life? Do we have enough faith? We've got faith. We got enough faith to trust Christ for our salvation. Do we have enough faith to deal with the death in our family? Do we have enough faith to deal with a part of our family going sideways because of maybe alcohol? We need to pray and say, God, give me the strength to deal with some of these issues that we're living in today. Folks, it was hard then. Is it hard now? You hear everybody saying, oh, it's a terrible time. I mean, goodness sake, look what's going on. I don't even want to watch the news no more and all this stuff going on and on and on. Well, let's step up. Let's get faith in our life. Let's hold on to God. Now, to say, by God's grace, by faith, I'm going to hold on to your hand and you're going to get me through this. We've had death in our families and our lives to deal with. And praise the Lord, God's got me through it in a wonderful way. I chose God. By faith, I chose not to be sad the rest of my life. By faith, I chose God to teach this Sunday school class the best I could do. I'm not going to sit down because of a tragedy in my life. It's by faith. These men had difficult times, and it made them stand up and say, God, you're going to have to help me get through this. God promised Abraham a new nation that was going to be the greatest nation ever. His family was going to be as much as the stars that you could count. And we see that today in the nation of Israel. The promise that God gave. Again, you think and look at what happened. Here we are into the fourth dispensation of man. God still dealing with man in a kind way. Trust me, trust me, trust me. And then man sins again. On and on it goes, folks. And the only way it's going to stop, and we know it, it's written down, it's in the Word. It will happen. It was written by God's own hand. And he's saying today, take this faith that I freely give you and use it to point people toward Christ, to point your family toward Christ, to bring your family in here and fill a pew up. But it takes faith. I know it's hard. Some family don't want to talk about it. It's hard. And again, God gives them a responsibility. He said to stay in the land which God giveth you. Don't go down to Egypt. It's the world. Don't go down there. It's sin. It's adultery. Don't go to Egypt. Trust God. Have faith. I'll feed you through this famine, Abraham. Did he lose his faith? You don't lose it, you just don't use it. He was considered a righteous man because of his faith. And how in the world did he turn around just because they were needing some food and go to where God directly said not to go. I'm telling you, we have a society today, it's going places they don't need to go. Our own families are going there. They don't need to go. We need to stand up for what's right. And by faith, hold on to God and say, God, help me do this. I can't do it on my own. No way in the world. I'm going to have to quit. Time's run out. I'll finish up here. We'll pick up there next week. But you practice your faith this week. I practice mine every day. Is it easy? No. But with God's help, you put your hand up, and God comes in here, and he sure can get it out to others then. Through you out to others. Show your faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, and thank you for your grace. And Lord, thank you so much for being there for us. Help us with our faith today. Help us to trust you in all things. God, we love you and we thank you, Lord. For this church, we pray for our pastor today that you'd touch his words and someone will be saved today. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you.